that point, I'd been in my business for like 4 years. I'd burnt out of my career like super early on. And I just kept getting burnt out and I like could not understand. And so that's what got me into human design, because I was like, I was burnt out from years of trying to do things different ways. And, I was desperate to understand why.
Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, where spirituality and earth wisdom meet racial justice and women's leadership. Hey, beautiful Aminata here, and I am so delighted to bring you this episode, this conversation with human design expert Pame Barba. Parme is the daughter of immigrants. She's a fourth generation entrepreneur, and she is an incredibly kind and just has this beautiful servant's heart. And in this episode, Pame talks to us about human design. We learn that she found human design when she got desperate. She couldn't figure out why the training program she was in didn't work for her. She couldn't figure out why her tech career and her own entrepreneurial career kept not working for her. She kept burning out until she found human design. And that whole way of looking at energy and of understanding your energy flow allowed her to accept herself, to come to trust herself, and to thrive. So if you have ever been burnt out, if you have ever felt like you were pushing the river and not getting the results you wanted, or if, you know, if you were just the kind of person that people weren't liking and you couldn't figure out why, well, human design might have some answers for you. So please stay on to the end of this interview, because toward the end, Pame talks about leadership and how leaders need support, and not just from Googling something, but from another human being who understands your design. And I think that cannot be overstated. One more thing I want to share before turning you over to our conversation is that the spring equinox is coming. It's early this year, on March 19th, and we in the Mother Tree community are going to take a soul journey to the equinox. We're focusing on self-trust. And this is something that almost all of us could use a little bit more of. And self-trust doesn't come in our dominant culture. Self-trust comes when we have the tools to go within and befriend ourselves. So I encourage you, if you know that you're someone who second guesses or triple guesses yourself, who comes down really hard on yourself, who's still holding on to mistakes from the past, please come on in to the Mother Tree community and our Spring Equinox Soul Journey. It's going to be March 15th through the 19th, and it's going to be virtual, so you can participate from anywhere. Just go to my website, dramandakemp.com, for more information. All right, see you on the other side. Hey, everyone. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am here today with our special guest, Pame Barba. Parme is a marketing strategist and a business coach and a lovely woman who's wearing two long braids and a fabulous hat today. How are you, Parme?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here. I really am. So we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, including human design, get a little bit of our moon talk on. Love to hear what you're thinking about the moon and the sun and any other stars you want to talk about today. But we always like to start off our conversations with what's good. So what is good for you today, Pame?
Today, what's good is some people in my family that have been working really hard to conceive a baby. Have a little one in the oven. It's still super early, but we got to hear the baby's heartbeat. So that was very exciting. We were all listening to it and just sending it so much love and excitement. And, you know, at the beginning, it's always tricky. So we're just sending it all the love so that it keeps hanging on.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful that you've been allowed to come in and, you know, at this early stage and share the moment. And
yeah, it's very vulnerable, you know, because like, you know, there's like a part of me that wants to be like, yeah, for sure. This is the one. It's going to work. We got this, you know, but I don't know that, you know? So it's like, how can you be there for people, but in a way that's real? So how excited do I get? You know, it's an interesting debacle.
Yeah. It's, I mean, really though, but isn't that kind of like life? Right. Yeah. Because, you know, what do we really, really know? You know,
that is true. Beyond,
right. You know, at any moment, anything could happen.
Yeah.
So how do we stay present? How do we stay loving, even though bad things can happen?
That is the question.
That is the question. Now, I wonder what your answers are. So tell me, how do you practice loving in the midst of so much uncertainty? And we could just look at this country right now. You know, one of our members just shared that she's going to be walking in a pride parade for the first time in her town. So, you know, and there's so much backlash on LGBT community right now. So I don't know, how do we love? How do we stay connected to joy and possibility when things are uncertain?
I think for me, the best sense I've been able to make out of it is just focusing on what's present, like what's here with me right now.
Yes.
What person am I present with? What's happening in yes. that presence together? Like it's really... when I'm alone and I'm like anxious because the world is on fire, it's like, what's present, you know, like how can I be present in the moment? Mm-hmm. And it's a daily minute by minute practice sometimes because mm-hmm. my brain's like, oh my gosh, well, what about this? And I'm like, nope, nope, nope. What's here right now? So that's what I think. How about you?
Yeah. I think it is, for me, getting in the body, like, which is a form of presence, like, but the very foundational thing to me is like, can I feel my feet, my toes? From there, I go to my breath. And then I can get to my heart. I really do have to go that, what do you call it?
In that order?
Yes. Yes, because I get distracted by my brain. Just like you said, my mind goes here. And so, yes. So for everyone out there who's feeling uncertainty right now, who's feeling afraid or unsafe, just want you to know we hear you, we feel you. And so what you just heard was body, breath, heart, what's in front of me right now.
Yeah. And I do want to say a lot of people that I'm, you know, in community with are just in the thick of it right now. Anxiety, fear, stress. I've been, you know, having anxiety, panic attacks. And so I just want to say that too. If you're listening and you're feeling that, you're not alone. Like we're all in this soup together.
Yes.
Sometimes we forget that we're in it together, which makes it more difficult. And I think part of it is my personality, because I am a very open person, that I end up sharing these things and people are like, me too, I'm going through this thing too. And it's like in that togetherness that it doesn't fix anything. But it fixes something.
I think it reminds us that we belong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I read a post on LinkedIn that really sent shivers through my body, and I felt so sad and afraid and, you know, like, just I don't want to use the word traumatized, but you know, when you're just like activated, that's what it was. Yes. I was activated. Yes. And because someone wrote in a LinkedIn post, I am not safe in Florida. I am not safe in Florida. Like 1,000 times, all in cap letters. It was a young queer black man. And my heart went out, and, you know, I felt all these feelings of sadness and fear. And then, but I brought it back in, brought myself back into my body. And as a, you know, as somebody who's in my fifth decade on this planet at this point in this black body, what I know is that safety starts with me. It starts within me, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's the first place I have to cultivate safety and not give it away to other people, give it away to other people to make me safe or not safe. Now, this is no criticism to anybody at all. I'm just telling you what I'm coming into, you know, at this stage of my life is me having the ability and the responsibility to cultivate safety from the inside, you know, out.
Yeah.
So I think what you said is, so that's one thing is cultivated there. But then when we realize we're, you know, those kind of laws and things, they make us feel alone. They make us feel isolated.
Yes.
And unloved. But when you share, you were reminded, oh yes, we are loved. We are together. And I just want to say one more thing. This thing's on my mind. Belonging, you know, part of how we feel like we belong is when people say, yes, I feel that too. You know, when they yes. When we're in it together, kind of like mm-hmm. what you were just saying. But also, you know, this whole planet is our home. You know, this does not belong to any one group. So I don't know. I feel like I belong. What I have to remind myself is that I belong on this planet. I belong here. Nobody can take it away from me.
Yes. Now, I think what sharing, you know, with other people does too, is that it can take the focus away from like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. It's just me. And to be like, oh, this is a systemic thing. This is like, I remember I was working in tech. I burnt out and I was feeling like really isolated and I like really a lot of shame, like all of these feelings. And then I found this group with like 10,000 women in tech on Facebook, with people describing kind of like exactly what I had experienced. And so it was like, oh, there's not something wrong with me. There's like something in the water that's affecting everybody. So it also kind of has that very grounding, like, you're not alone. This isn't just you. And, you know, we're all here together.
Mm. Mm. And when you talked about systemic, I wonder, you know, it's not just you, there's something in the system. I wonder how, I'm going to take us to human design, which I'm very interested in.
Let's do it.
Hey, y'all, the spring equinox is coming, and I invite you to celebrate, commemorate it with us, the Mother Tree community. We're going to go deep into self-trust. We are going to enrich your soil so that you can give birth to that beautiful project, so that you can let the seeds that have been hanging out, germinating inside of you come forth later in the year. This is the time, the spring equinox, to go deep and to build self-trust. For more information, go to my website, dramandakemp.com, and look for Spring Equinox.
Because I wonder how, like, so how does something like human design, you know, which, okay, and you might need to tell people what that is a little bit. When we're in a soup, when we're in a societal or dominant culture that causes dis-ease, how can we use something like human design to help ourselves?
Oh, yes. Okay. So human design, not to be confused with human-centered design. A lot of people, you know,
that's true.
Whoever came up with the names was not thinking it through. So human design, it is a synthesis of astrology, I Ching, the chakra system, the Kabbalah, quantum physics. And it's the system that if you are familiar with your natal chart in astrology, it's the system that gives you a picture of a chart that shows the time that you were born. It's based on your time of birth and your place of birth. It kind of gives you a blueprint for yourself. And I found human design probably it was in 2020 because I was feeling very, very lost. At that point, I'd been in my business for like 4 years. I'd burnt out of my career like super early on. And I just kept getting burnt out. And I like could not understand, why do I keep getting burned out? Everybody around me seems like they can keep going and going and going, but like something's wrong with me. I'm doing something wrong. And at the same time, I was in all these like business coaching programs because I'm a nerd. I love to sign up for programs and learn from lots of different people where the advice that was given just didn't work for me. Like I understood how it worked for other people, but it just didn't work for me. And it wasn't from lack of trying. And so I kind of started thinking like, maybe like not all advice fits everybody, which sounds like it's saying it sounds like, well, yeah, duh.
Basic. But
human design gave me a deeper look into it. At the same time, I had a group coaching program and I started having this like fear of like, oh, what if I'm doing the same thing? What if the advice I'm giving to the people in my group is something that like worked for me, but like won't work for them? And so that's what got me into human design because I was like, I was burnt out from years of trying to do things different ways. And I was desperate to understand why or how it worked. Also, I will say there was this like energetic business coach that I really liked and followed. And she would talk about like, you know, your soul has a different blueprint. And depending on your soul blueprint, you should do this versus this. And she was really great. And I'm sure she's like fantastic. But for her, it was like the only way you could find out your blueprint was like, you know, you pay $500 for her to like give you your blueprint. And that just was not accessible to me at the time. But following her kind of planted the seed to like, oh, maybe there's like a soul level thing happening. I just like, what is she looking at? How can I look at it? And I don't know if she uses human design or what she uses, but human design is free. It's accessible. It's one of the things I love about it. Anybody listening here, you can Google, like find my human design chart. And as long as you have your birth information, it really does need to be accurate. So if it's not accurate, take it with a grain of salt, but down to the minute. And you can look it up. And then once you look it up, you can start Googling and learning things about yourself. So I, you know, there's people like me who are readers who can help you understand your chart. But I like spent 2 years just learning about myself with the information that was free on the internet. And that's one of the things that I love about it.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things. So first of all, I love it that you're this self-learner, self-taught, like you go out and you find stuff. You know, that's awesome. And you had all those coaches because you just love learning. And I just think that would a lot of people out here would agree with you, would have that same kind of orientation. So what did you find about yourself? Like, why were you burning out so quickly or more quickly than you saw other people?
Yeah. So I'm going to back up for a second and talk about the five human design types, because this will give insight for it. So according to human design, there's five types of souls, right? And we're all one thing I love about human design, there's no hierarchy, nothing's better, nothing's worse. We all have a different role to play. And so the first type is manifestors, and manifestors are really here to be the people that like have the vision and the idea. And like, they're the ones that kind of go after it and people come together to help them create that thing, right? So maybe in ancient times, they're like, I think we should build the village here. Please put the pyramids over here, right? So there are people that don't necessarily have the energy to do it, but they have that impulse and that idea to see the vision. And then there's generators and manifesting generators, which are similar, but a little bit different. Just for the sake of simplicity, I will group them together. But 70% of the world are generators and manifesting generators. So they are the people that are here to build. They're the people that have access to that consistent energy, to that consistent motor that will listen to what the manifestor said, see that vision, or, you know, they don't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean they're always following somebody else. It could be that they're responding to the universe around them, right? But they're the ones that have the energy to build whatever that thing is. And so humanity needs these people, obviously. And it's really interesting because, you know, manifestors, I think it's like 9%. Generators and manifesting generators is like 70%. And I see these numbers represented in my practice. Like when people sign up to do readings with me, most of my readings are generators and manifesting generators. So they're here to build, right? Then the third type is projectors. And this is what I am. Projectors are here. We don't have our own access to energy. Projectors burn out a lot. And projectors are here to really help guide other people and their energy. We're really good at seeing like, wait, you're building this pyramid, but you're like walking this way. You could just cut through here and use like 50% less energy. Because we don't have our own energy, we're very strategic. And we're really good at seeing people, situations, organizations, and seeing how could things be more efficient. We're also really, really good at seeing people, right? I think this is one of my gifts. I'm really good at talking to somebody who's like, I do a lot of things. I don't know what I do. And then I talk to them and I'm like, this is your thing. This is the thing, right?
That's amazing.
That's part of what I love, you know, what I do. And then the last type is called reflectors. Projectors are like 20%. And then reflectors is like less than 1%. I know very few reflectors. Reflectors are really interesting. They take in all the energy from around them and then they reflect it back. And so, you know, they say like back in the day, if you wanted to know the health of the village, you just would need to look at the reflector. If that reflector was thriving, like that meant everybody was good. If that reflector was sick, like something was up, right? So those are kind of like the big five types. I'll pause here and see what follow-up questions you have.
Yeah. So I want to know, so when you said you love working with people, I said that you were a marketing strategist and a business coach. So is that how you work with people?
That is a way that I work with people. My focus is, and I'm in grad school right now to get even deeper into that focus, is in the leadership coaching piece. And so to me, I'm the most interested in developing leaders and helping them develop their leadership. And so that's kind of like the coaching side of what I do. On the consulting side, there is that brand strategy piece, but also the organizational consulting, right? So if people have a business, how do we build systems to help it make it easier for them to make it more efficient? So really my consulting all has to do with, the branding piece, like how do we talk about it, but also the like, how do we create systems to make it easy to sustain?
Right. Which is your projector kind of gift, right?
Right.
How do we make it easy?
How do we make it easy and how, you know, what's here, like what's present? I'm very good at seeing. Now the downside of being a projector obviously is this lack of energy, right? Like projectors aren't meant to work the way that 70% of the world is meant to work, which of course can be difficult because we live in a world that doesn't make that super easy.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's really interesting about projectors is that our energy can be so intense because we have this way of like peering into people that it has to be invited. When it's not invited, it doesn't work and it's not it's not taken well, right? Yes. So if I'm having a conversation with you and you're like, Bame, please help me. Like, what do you see here? I want to hear your thoughts. Like, that's an invitation for me to be like, here's what I hear. Here's what I see. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do that, it's like my energy can feel too intense. Like I'm poking and prodding or just looking where I'm not invited to look. Mm. Which makes the other person feel bad and which makes me feel like a sense of like bitterness. Like, ugh, yes. I'm giving them such good advice and they're not listening to me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So each type has like a not self theme. So what that means is that it's like a sign that lets you know, like something is off. Like, and for projectors that is bitterness. And so when I first found human design, I was super bitter. I was very bitter because I was like, I'm helping all these people with their businesses. They don't even notice how much I'm helping them. This is a very projector thing because if we're not invited to share our insights, they go unheard or people don't even realize that, you know, we're sharing good information or it's just not wanted.
Right. So I'm thinking about, this is beautiful. And, you know, so part of me wants to know, how do you, like when someone has a lot of things that they feel passionate about, that they care about, or maybe they have a lot of self-doubt and a lot of self-criticism, how could you help them or how could they use human design as a way to help themselves?
Yes. So yes, this is great. So back to kind of the big question that we started with this, it's like, okay, we're all swimming in the soup. How do we use human design as like a tool, right? To me, the greatest thing about human design is, you know, I've done, I don't know how many readings, a lot of readings. And most often the response that I get from people is, oh, I've been doing that since I was a kid and I thought it was bad. And you're telling me that that's something special about my design. So it's a lot about self-validation and self-understanding.
Give us an example of that, like something that someone's been doing since.
So for example, for manifestors, again, who are here to initiate ideas, have this strong connection with their voice and with the things that they say, and with their aura can repel people a little bit because they're not meant to be liked by everybody. Right. And it's so interesting because I see this, I have a 6-year-old niece who's a manifestor and she's so funny, but she will say the thing that makes everybody gasp. I don't know how she notices, and it's 100% true. It's not that what she's saying is untrue. And it's not like she's trying to be hurtful. She's being observant, but she will say the thing that makes everybody be like, right. And so what happens with manifestors is that if you're a kid and you grew up maybe making the people around you uncomfortable because you were speaking such truths, you might get to be an adult where you start holding back your voice because you're like, you know, people have these big reactions when I say things that to me just make sense. Right. And so having an understanding that like, yeah, you're a manifestor. And part of what you're here to do is to initiate people with your voice and with the things that you say. And that may have made the people around you uncomfortable and they may have reacted in a way that you start like shutting down. And so it's like just having that awareness of like, oh, okay. So I am meant to make people a little bit uncomfortable and that's part of what I'm here to do. And okay, how can I start embracing that?
Yeah. Or most people or a lot of people aren't going to like me. Some people will like me, but a lot of people aren't going to like me.
Yeah.
If I'm just true to myself. Okay. So just accepting where these chips fall. And it's not like you've done something wrong and because you're not someone else who everybody loves.
I'll give you another example with myself. So in human design, there's what we call your profile. And it's 2 numbers and your profile. It's like how you're here to do the thing that you're going to do. Right. So if I say your life purpose is to cure a disease, you could be a researcher. You could be a networker that creates a foundation. You could be like a scientist that's like literally making, you know, the medicine. Like there's so many ways that it could unfold. Your profile is how you do that, right? And so for me, my profile is 1-3. So, you know, rewinding back like 10 minutes when we were talking about, I went through all these business courses and I tried all these different courses and I tried this method of sales and I tried this method of marketing, right? That's part of my profile. The one in my profile is called the investigator. So those are people that like want to learn stuff like deeply. Like I get into human design. I don't want to talk about anything else for a whole year. That's all I'm learning about, all I'm thinking about, right? And then the three is the experimenter. We're people that just have to try things. They say the stove is hot. Like I need to touch it to make sure it's hot and I need to burn my hand and be like, you were right. Yeah. So to me, and like, that's something that brought me a lot of shame because I kept being like, what's wrong with me? I switched careers so often. I quit this. I quit that. I quit that. I started doing this with my business and then I quit because society tells us it's bad to quit. You should stick with the same thing forever. Right. And so understanding that as a 1-3, my gift to the world is that I have the interest and the resiliency and the capacity to experiment with all of these different things. And my role is to share. I learned everything. I read everything. Here's the basics. Here's what you need to know. So I'm here to share through my own experimentation. So it's things like that, that like for me, that made my life so much easier once I understood that.
Okay. So that's 1 and 3. What are 2 and 4?
2 and 4, is that yours?
No, I don't know, actually.
Oh, I can't remember yours. I tried pulling up your chart, but right before, but I didn't get to. So 2 and 4 is that 2 are people who really become like, it's called the hermit. They're people that like, they're like, please shut the door because I got to do my thing, right? Maybe you're an artist, you write poetry. Like there's, you know, I had a teacher who was an astrology teacher who was a 2-4. Like they need kind of that space away from people to really get into whatever their thing is. And then they love it. They become really, really good at it. Sometimes it can be hard for them to know how good they are at something because they do have this natural skill. And it can be hard for them to see themselves, right? That's the 2 part. The 4 part is the connector networker. Like there are people, usually when I have clients who are 2-4s, most of their business comes in through word of mouth. It's people that they know or people that they know that they know that know somebody else, right? So there's this element of like their network and who they connect to. And it doesn't mean that they have to be these like extroverted networkers, but it means, you know, for example, like my partner is a 2-4 and he's been looking for a job. And for him, that means like, go talk to the people that you know. Don't be applying to random jobs online because that's not going to work. It could work, just not as quickly because your strength really is that network. And so it's interesting because a lot of profiles can sometimes be like contradictions, right?
Yes, there's this like polarities.
Yes, like I want to be alone and do my thing, but also I need to be in community and network, right? And mine is like, I need to investigate this thing and know everything about it, but I just have to try it, right? So it can help us understand ourselves.
I love that. I love that. And I think I am a 2-4.
I think you are.
Yeah, yeah. I don't actually know my birth time super accurately. And just so for anybody else who's in that boat, so, because my mom told me my birth time before she died, but you know, my mom told me about birth time when I was like 20. No, I was like 30. And since I've given birth twice, I'm like, how could she remember 30 years ago the exact minute I was born? I mean, I just think that would be extraordinary. I know I couldn't after all the stuff I've been through in my life. If it wasn't written down and for my kids, it was written down. So yeah. Anyway, so go in, as Pame said, go in with a grain of salt, you know, be gentle. Don't be perfectionistic about it if you can. So, okay. So Pame, so I love that thing about, maybe I'm different. Maybe there's nothing wrong with me. I don't have to try it harder. I need to do things differently. So, and the way you phrased it earlier when you were talking about really supporting leadership, helping yes. leaders evolve. Tell me, just say a little bit about that. Like why is that your passion right now?
Yeah, because it really, you know, when I come from a small business family, I'm a fourth generation entrepreneur. And I, for better or worse, I love business, right? I just come from one of those families that's like just 99% entrepreneurship. Like my aunts, my uncles, my siblings, like it's everywhere, right? It's beautiful.
Wow.
And so when I was an undergrad, so I always grew up with this, like, that's what we talked about at dinner. We talked about like, look at this business model. Look, this is so interesting. Their menu is so limited. Like they get you in and they get you out. You know, this is just what I grew up like, right?
Amazing. And you also grew up, are you first generation American?
I am. Okay. And first generation immigrant too.
Okay.
And so when I was going to my undergrad, I was like, well, I want to help my family business. So let me study graphic design. That's my first degree. And so I studied graphic design because I'm like, yeah, the marketing piece seems really important. People need help with this, right? So I studied that. And then I would be working with leaders and be like, well, you know, even if they sold more, something is up with the business like structure, like the prices aren't right, or they wouldn't have the bandwidth to do this. And so then I spent several years studying business because I'm like, no, the business part is what needs to be addressed, right? Like if you get the business strategy, the business systems right, that's how it'll work. And then I realized, wait, if the leader, if the founder, if the business owner is not in a place where they, like, you can have the best marketing, you can have the best business strategy, but if the leader is not getting the support that they need to do the things, then it doesn't even matter. Right. And so now I'm getting my master's degree in executive coaching because I understand now that so much of it has to do with the leader.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful. We're going to take a break right now and hear from our sponsor, but we'll be right back with Pame.
Hey, beautiful Aminata here, and I am wanting to invite you to Sound Healing for Peacemakers. It is a free complimentary download for all of us who want more peace in the world, in the Middle East, in our bodies, in our families. Sound Healing for Peacemakers is for you. Just go to my website, dramandakemp.com. See you there.
So we are back with Pame Barba. Now, Pame, we know people are going to be wondering, this sounds really good, but suppose I don't know my exact birth time. Can they still take the human design test or whatever it is and get something helpful?
It depends. So I will say there are people that can help you find your birth time. It's called the rectification. And so the way that it works is that, you know, you tell them like, it's from this time to this time. And then they ask you a lot of questions, like, because then basically what they'll do is they'll like rotate your natal chart around and be like, when did you have like a big thing happen? Was it when you were 6 or was it when you were 9? And so they'll kind of like check it that way. So I will say there, I don't do that, but there are people who professionally do that. So that's one route. I would say if you're pretty sure, you're like, I was born between like 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. You know, just try to get down to the closest like 15 minute mark. And you can be pretty sure that like at least your type, your strategy, like that stuff is correct. Maybe some of the gates and channels might change. And yeah, I would say, honestly, scheduling to a time with a person who, and letting them know like, hey, I'm not sure of my time. What would you recommend? Because it's, people have different ways of working with it. Like my astrology mentor, will put people's chart at noon. And she's like, I can still get a really good reading if I put your chart at noon. But that's because she's comfortable with that technique. At this point in my process, I'm like, I'm really not comfortable if you're not sure your exact time, but there are people who can help you figure it out.
And just tell me, because you spent 2 years, you know, self-learning, self-teaching yourself. So what's the value, or what do you do when you actually do a reading for someone?
Yes. And I spent 2 years self-teaching, but then I did go through a training program. So I am certified through the Human Design Academy. And then it's 2023. So it's been, I guess, 3 years, 3.5 at this point. I'm like, what's math? So really what a reader can do for you, it depends, right? But it's the same. Think about it like when you're working on your business or you're writing your bio and you're writing it over and over again. And you're like, I think this is who I am. And then you talk to a girlfriend and then they're like, oh my gosh, but this is you. Like, I know you, there's so much more, and they're reflecting back to you.
Yeah.
So I will say on like a very basic level, it's that it's somebody else that gets to see you and can reflect back to you. And there's something magical about that, even if it has nothing to do with human design, right?
No, I agree. There's something magical about you who don't know me very well. If I was to have a session with you telling me some stuff about me in a non-judgmental way, or maybe even in a way that values it, I think that would be, I think that's valuable.
Yeah. And then the bigger thing is, you know, those of us who have like studied it deeper can bring different insights, because there is really great information on the internet, but then you might start finding like contradictory information. Like there's this person that I started learning about projectors when I first started, and her view of projectors is really kind of like old school, right? So if I had only learned from her, it would be like a limited view of how I see myself. So being with the reader, they're bringing in those deeper insights. But also, you know, a lot of what I'm doing in my sessions is like holding space for people to embody the knowledge, right? I'm like, so your type says this, how does that show up for you? Oh, I've had clients and it has showed up in this way. So it is more of like getting to embody the things versus just like spitting out a report, because you can get a report spit out for you, but you're not having the space to process it with somebody.
Yeah.
And also we can find patterns and see things that you may not see, or, you know, let you know like, oh yeah, I've had 4 people with this thing. These were kind of their experiences, and it might like light up something for you.
So if people want to find out more about your leadership development, your style, the services you do, how can we follow you?
Yes. I am MS, like Ms. Pamela Barba at .com. And, wait, I'm going to say that again.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, and my website, it's the same, mspamelabarba.com. And that's where you can find me.
Beautiful. MsPamelaBarba.com.
Yep.
Okay. That's where we should go to find you on your website. And then you're Ms. Pamela Barber on Instagram?
Yep.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Thank you for listening. If you found anything valuable in this episode or in the Mother Tree Network podcast at all, please pass us on to a friend. We are now in the top 5% of podcasts globally. Can you believe it? It's been a little over a year, and this has been a labor of love, a divine labor. So thank you for listening. Please leave us a review. Please tag me on social media. You can just tag Dr. Amanda Kemp on most social media. And let me know how you feel about this podcast. All right. Until the next time, see you soon, gorgeous.